Welcome to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
Hey, if you've got your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want to unpack something here today. The title of my message is Living Beyond the Cross, and it's kind of like when I travel like this, I'm not an itinerant ministry, but when I come somewhere, I like to ask the Lord, well, what do you want me to say? What can I leave that can really help people and impact people? So I want to talk about living beyond the cross. Have you ever played games with your kids? Any mums and dads here, especially dads, are terrible at this. I've been very bad at it. You play games with your kids. One game I played was I would get them in between my knees. We had a hallway down the middle of our house. All the rooms went off. And I'd go, ready, steady, go, and they'd take off, and they'd run halfway down the hallway, then you could see them stopping, and you know what they're thinking, go where, go why, but you know young children, have a guess what they say, immediately get down the hall, again, and they come again, and we'd play it for ages, then they get a bit old, and I'd say, who wants to play ready, steady, go? Dad, you are so uncool. It's a stupid game. So why is it stupid? Well, where are we going? Ready, steady, go. Where to? You know, sometimes I get the feeling in the Christian life, we get saved, we get born again, we get set on the way and we start running with God and everything's great. Can you remember when you first got saved? For those that have been around a while, everything's beautiful. It's your favourite song. Everything is beautiful. You walk into the church. Oh, what a beautiful church. Look at the colours. I love the music. Oh, I just love everything because you've been set free, right? But after a few months, it's like, who chose those colours? And if that song lead asked me to raise my hands one more time, I'm leaving. You know, and we get this kind of thing happening. And I think because we haven't made a connection or an understanding that the Christian life is not just about how we start, it's about how we continue. And ready, steady, go, where, why? So this is an interesting idea. So let's unpack it, shall we? So imagine this pulpit is the cross. You say, well, it doesn't look like one. Well, actually, the cross in the corner may not have looked like that. That could be a modern kind of view about it. As a matter of fact, the Bible said it's a tree. It says, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. But anyway, so that's just an idea. But imagine this is the cross. When Jesus came to the cross, he received a name. And then after he rose, he received another name. Because you know his name was Jesus because the Bible says you will call his name Jesus for you'll save his people from their sins. So when he came to die on the cross and he died on the cross, that moment he was known as the Lamb of God, the Messiah or the Christ. And so he was called Jesus Christ. Then the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, he died, he was buried, but on the third day, he rose again. And when he rose again, he got another name, a new name. And to discover that name, we've got to go to Philippians chapter 2. And it says, therefore, God has given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. So now Jesus has become Christ, the Savior. He's gone through the cross and now he's Lord. Interesting, isn't it? So when Paul says here in Corinthians chapter 2, I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, he didn't mean just his death. He meant his death, burial and resurrection. As Pentecostals and charismatics or spirit-filled people would understand, the full gospel. So you see, being a Christian isn't just about getting your life insurance policy. It's not, oh, hallelujah, I'm a Christian, I'm not going to hell. Well, that's because you've been saved from things. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Could it be that you're saved to something? You can't be saved to something until you've been saved from our sins, from our past, from our failures. So we've got to know Jesus as Christ first, and having known him as Christ, we die with him, we're buried with him, and now the Bible says we're raised with him to walk in newness of life, it says in Romans chapter 6. Now what I find is knowing Jesus as Lord and say they're different, they're totally different things. Let me put it to you another way. The children of Israel were slaves in Egypt for quite a long time. And in one day, God sends a man, Moses, and he sets them free overnight. Phenomenal. It's called the Passover. And there we see the type of Christ, the picture of Christ, that the lamb was slain, the blood was applied, and they get out of Egypt. But you see, God didn't just call the children of Israel to get out of Egypt. If you read the full context of the book of Exodus and read through in Joshua, etc., he called them out, he says, so that he might bring them into. So he raised up Moses. Now, Moses is the Christ. So for 40 years, Moses is saving the children of Israel. So they get out overnight. They come to the Red Sea. They're going to kill us. The chariots are coming. What do I do? God says, God, what do I do? Lift up your rod. Waters part. They all go through. I bet you they were running. They get through. He puts his rod down. The waters come and destroy the army. So they start to have a party. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory, glory. And they magnified God. They praised God because they've been set free. But a few days later, they're thirsty. We're thirsty. Moses says, what do I do? Speak to the rock, speaks to the rock, water. A few days later, we're hungry. God, what do I do? Lift up your rod, manna. What's manna? No one knows. The Hebrew word for manna is, what is it? So you collected, what is it, every day. Just imagine, ladies, no supermarket, no cooking. You just went out on your lawn, it's there. It's sort of like spiritual Uber. And it's there, and you eat it. And you know what it says? None of them were sick. None of them were weak for 40 years on the manna. Oh, but that wasn't good enough for people that only know Jesus as Savior. Are you with me here? So they complain again because they have a salvation-only mentality. We're sick of manna. We want some meat. God, what do I do? Lift up your rod, quail. A little while later, we don't like manna and quail. We're sick of it. It sticks in your teeth. We want garlic and onion. You read garlic and onion. That's what they prayed for. Look at garlic and onion. God's leading them into the promised land and they want garlic and onion. Then finally they get to the point they start complaining about Moses. Oh, you think you're a big shot. You put your rod up and everything happens. You know what they said? We were better off in Egypt. Are you kidding me? What, it's better to be a slave getting beaten around and with nothing than to be provided supernaturally by God in the wilderness on your way to the promised land? Because no Christians think like this. We read that and go, oh, those Jews. I know not in Texas, you know, but in Australia, we've got Christians like that. They're just always complaining. It's because they're sin conscious. It's because they have a picture of God that I'm a slave and I need to be rescued. And so they constantly live on this side of the cross looking for salvation. So now the pastor's a savior, their husband, their wife, their friend, their small group leader. They're going to save me. But you see, that's only one side of the cross. When he said Christ crucified, he was talking part one, part two. You've got to have both. It's like two sides of a coin. But once we're saved from, we go through the cross, we're now living to a destiny. We're saved for purpose. We're saved for a reason. Amazing, isn't it? Jesus is Christ. Jesus is Lord. Let me put it to you another way. Hands up those when they first started driving, learnt in a manual gearbox car. I've just identified most of the senior people in the church, but anyway, we won't go there. When I first learnt at 15, I had to do manual. There were no automatics. And you know, in our culture, when you learn to drive, you have kangaroo petrol. You know, put it in first gear. And then you, and then finally you get it smooth and away you go. Years later, I bought my first brand new car. It took me years. And have a guess what? It was automatic. Once you've driven automatic, you never go back to manual. Well, some people do because they love cars, and but we won't talk about that kind of person, okay? We'll just leave that over there. But most people just want to go accelerator, brake, accelerator, brake. It's just so simple, right? Can I put it to you this way, that becoming a Christian, experience Jesus as your Christ, is automatic. Let me do a survey. I love the survey. Hands up those here who can save themselves. Are there any Christs here? No. Right. So how do you become a Christian? Good works? No. By trying to be the good person, a better person. See, listen to me, church. Christianity isn't a self-improvement program. You don't become a better you. You become a brand new you who dies to self, dies to sin, and you're raised in newness of life to serve Jesus. But you see, when you come to Christ, it's automatic. You say, what is this guy talking about? Well, God does it. We say, God, save me, I need help. You get filled with the Holy Spirit, you get cleaned up, you get forgiven. What a wonderful feeling. But then you see, you come to this part about Lord. Ah, the children of Israel, they're now saved. So God gives them another leader, Joshua. Joshua's different because Joshua's a leader. He's going to be their Lord, not their Savior. They're already saved. He can't re-save them. You can't get born again, 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 again. Once you're saved, you're saved. Now what? Well, they come to another sea or river called the Jordan that's in flood. Moses is dead. There's only two guys coming through and their kids and whatever. It's a whole new generation. So what are you going to do, Joshua? He said, oh no, it's not what I'm going to do, it's what you're going to do. What do you mean? What kind of leader are you? What, you mean we're going to do it? Mm-hmm. This is what you're going to do. Musicians in the front, priests, people. Well, where are you going to be? I see the tent on the hill. I'm going to be in the tent on the hill having a pumpkin spice latte while you do it. What kind of leader are you? Oh, that's just it. I'm a leader, not a savior. The Bible says as the musicians began to play and they began to march toward the flooded Jordan, the Bible says the moment one of the foot, the first foot to touch it, no Moses, now it's the priests and the singers and the people, and they go through on dry land. The moment they get through, comes back again. Wow, that's pretty awesome. But they didn't learn. So they get to the first city, Jericho. So Joshua, what are you going to do about this one? This one's a big one. He said, I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to order another Uber pumpkin spice. I'll be in the tent. You're going to do it. We're going to do it. Well, so how are we going to take this one? Well, you're going to march around it once for 6 days. And on the seventh day, you're going to do it seven times. The end, you're going to shout. By the way, Australian language, shut up. Don't say a word. Why did he say that? Because can you imagine after one day? He's lost his mind. He's got too much sugar. He's drinking too much pumpkin spice. That's not a leader. The leader's got to be out in front. No, no, no. No, you're out in front. See, living the Christian life with Jesus as Lord is manual. It's not automatic. You say, well, so what do you mean? Well, it's what you and I do that God anoints. We're workers together with him. But we're waiting for God to do something. Have you ever prayed like this? Oh, Lord, show me your will. I already have my son. Have you read it lately? Oh, yes, I know, God, but I want to know specifically what your will is so I can be in the center of God's will. I mean, where do people get this language from? The center of God's will? Like, are you Jesus? You know the bin, you know, what would Jesus do? I don't know. He's not here. But I am. So then the Lord says to us, so son, what would you like? What's the desire of your heart? Oh, Lord, far be it from me to tell you what I desire. I only want what you want. Yes, I know, son, that you only want what I want. That's why I'm asking you, what do you want? Oh, no, Lord. I'm evil. I'm a sinner. My heart is wicked. I only... Would you stop it? You're just being stupid. I asked you what's your desires. Psalms, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Oh. What do you mean it's manual? Well, God's waiting for us to do something. That's Australian. If you're in Texas, God's waiting for you to do something. So I need to pray. I need to give. I need to share. I need to encourage. See, church, we've got to give God something to work for. When we need saving, he provides everything. Now that we're saved, we provide. So what do you mean? 5,000 people, they need feeding. What do you have? Oh, we've got a boy's lunch. That'll do. Bring it here. The moment he gives the lunch, he blesses it, they break it, it keeps multiplying. We have to give God something to work for, but we go back to automatic. We're waiting for God to do something. That's why I'm not a revivalist. There are revivals, but I'm not a revivalist personally. People who are revivalists are waiting for the silver bullet. They're waiting for the magic to happen and the whole world will change. No, no, this is how the world changes. We begin to do the will of God. Sometimes there's no evidence apart from our faith. Faith is the evidence and the substance of things hoped for. We read in the Bible that God wants us to do something, or the Holy Spirit reveals to us to do something. We must put the car in gear and do it. The moment we begin to obey by faith what God has shown us in the Word or revealed by the Spirit, he anoints that. But I find so often in the Christian world, people are just passive because they believe spirituality is automatic. It's just going to happen. So people say, well, what if I do the wrong thing? It's far easier to stare a moving vehicle than a stationary one. You can be in the church garage, sitting in your car. You can turn the engine on, you can rev it, turn the air conditioning on, but you're going nowhere. Sooner or later, you're going to have to back that car out of the garage and start to go. But what if I do the wrong thing? God will redirect you. It says He will speak to us. We've got a witness of the Spirit. But we've got to give God something to work with. What have you got to give God? What can you do? What would the Holy Spirit reveal to you that you need to do that can change your circumstances? By just putting it in gear. The years I've been in the church, so many people just sit there waiting to be recognized. One day the church is going to recognize my gifts and my multi-talented stardom. And I'm going to become this great servant of God. No, no. Why don't you start serving? Put it in gear. And say, hey, do you need help on the door? Do you need help with the kids? Oh, whatever. We've got to give God something to work with. He's waiting for us to take steps of obedience, steps of faith. And the moment we do it, He will move on it and bless it. How insignificant sometimes it seems. What, a boy's lunch can feed 5,000? But it's not about the lunch. It's about the power of God on the lunch. Never underestimate what God has given you. When you simply begin to obey the Word of God, obey the prompting and leading of the Holy Spirit, and when you begin to obey it, the Holy Spirit moves. And you know, sometimes we can do things we don't even know. We're not even aware that it was spiritual. But I'll tell you this, no seed is ever wasted. No seed. It only takes the right environment, the right conditions, and if the seed's there, it'll sprout. What have you got to give God this morning? Maybe even online. Maybe right in this meeting. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Maybe you're away from God. You don't know God. You're here with your friend. You're watching online. But you know in your heart, you don't really know God. You might have been brought up in church all your life. But just because you're born in a garage, it doesn't make you a motor car. Being brought up in the church doesn't make you a Christian. We've got to be born again automatically by the power of God. Some of us here today need to say yes to Jesus for the first time or online. Some of us start well like we pictured before, but we get along the road and we lose our way somehow. We stop doing the things that God has commanded us or led us to do, and we just drift. Why don't you come back to Jesus today? You say, is it that simple? That's been my experience. We're only one prayer away. We're only one decision away. We're only one action away from God renewing our life. But he's waiting for us to do something. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the power. The receiving comes first, not the power. Where as many as received Him, to them He gave the power. So even being born again, even though it's automatic, we still have to give that childlike faith, no matter how weak we feel or undeserved or guilty. Give it to the Lord and see what God does. Why don't you bow your heads in the presence of God? Maybe online you can do the same right where you are. Just bow your head in the presence of God. And maybe today you need to come to Jesus for the first time. Or you need to come back and say, yes, Lord, I need to be re-engaged with you. I need to put my life in gear and say yes to you. If that's you coming for the first time, or giving your heart back to the Lord and coming to Him again, why don't you slip your hand up right where you are? Just slip it up right where you are and say, that's me. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Thank you. Yes. Anyone else? Just slip it up and say, yes, up the back. I see your hands. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, young man, right down the front. Thank you, ma'am. You're just saying yes to Lord. Sir, I see your hand up the back there. Maybe online you're saying yes to the Lord. Connect with the team through your server. Connect with them. Let's pray this. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand there. Let's all stand together. We're going to end the meeting. I'm going to hand over to Pastor. Those in the meeting, if you raise your hand, get out of your seat, put your life in gear and say, I'm going the whole nine yards with God. I'm not waiting. It's not just going to be a thought or a desire. I'm going to put my life into action. Just slip out of your seat and come right now. Just come. You raised your hand. Come, young man. Come, lead the way. Look, come on, give them a big hand as they come. I'm going to wait for the ones to come. Yeah, come up the back. Bring your family. You can all come, right? Others here that raised their hand. I saw someone over here. There's someone down the back here. Come, don't be shy. I'm just encouraging you to do something. And Pastor's going to lead you in a prayer and look after you. Awesome. Well done, young man. Yeah, come. Come. Let me shake your hand. Yeah, come. Come on. You're just saying yes, whether it's again, for the first time. I'm just waiting. There's some coming from the balcony. Look, taking a minute. Yeah. Pastor, do you want to come and look after these people? Here they come. Look, all the way from the back. Awesome. You people are awesome. Come right down here. Yeah. This is awesome. Come closer. Come in. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Come, Pastor.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Gordon. It's a big moment. It's a big moment. It's a big moment. Pastor Robert's going to come and give you a card. Pastor Robert, come on up here. And he's going to give you a card and pencil. I want you to take just a moment and let us know the decision that you're making today. You're either coming to Jesus for the first time or you're coming back to Him. You know, you feel this tug on your heart really to serve the Lord. You know, I say it like this. Salvation is free, but to walk with God will cost you everything. Right? And that's really what living by the cross is that we're totally surrendered to Him. And there's a joy and there's a peace and there's a life that comes to being surrendered to Christ. And today, that's what you're doing. You're saying, hey, I want to go to the next level. I want to surrender my heart. And, I think back over my own life, and I've done this many times. You know, if you get to a place, you're stuck, you just feel like, you know what? I want to repent. I want to turn from this place I'm stuck in and turn to God. Yeah. And so take just a moment to fill that out. It's fantastic. Give us that so we can pray for you this week, so that we can stand with you, so we can help you grow and go to the next level. Some of you have not yet quite been through our first steps class, our next steps class, and so we're gonna connect with you about that, right? Because we know that getting planted in a life-giving body is the key, a really important key to growing. Yeah. Is there anybody else who say, look, don't let this moment pass you by. This is a holy moment. Don't let this moment pass you by. If you know you're supposed to be up here, just come on. Come on now. You'd be right on time if you'd just come on. Yeah. Anybody else? Fantastic. Anybody else? Yeah. Pastor Gordon, thank you for being here this morning with us. God bless you. Let's give him a hand. Thank you, him. Yeah. Come on. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for each and every person, Lord, that have answered the altar call and come up here to the altar, Lord. I pray for each and every one of them. In fact, if you're standing here at the altar, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to just raise both hands like this. Yeah. And just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. From this moment forward, I'm going to live to serve you. Yeah. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you. Come on. Yeah, come on. One more hand for all these. It's a big moment. It's a big moment. Are you glad you came today? Huh? Is this great, seeing lives changed? I mean, this is going to be something really amazing for each and every one of these guys. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for joining us online. You guys have a great week. Remember to be thankful and grateful and serve and not be served, okay? If you do that, you'll have a happy Thanksgiving. God bless you. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give to partner with what God is doing through Trinity Dallas.